Torah, when the Yontov Pesach is mentioned in connection with Sfiras HaOmer, the Pasuk speaks there about Pesach and says that on the second day of Pesach, Sfartem Lochem Mimochras HaShabbos Sheva Shabbosis Temimis. The Yontov Pesach is called Shabbos, Mimochras HaShabbos. It's interesting why this Yontov is called Shabbos rather than Yontov, Mimochras HaYontov. Those and people who didn't believe in Torah Shebal Peh, Take always made a mistake and started counting Sfira after the first Shabbos rather than from Yontov. But Torah Shebal Peh tells us that in this case Shabbos does not mean Shabbos, it means Yontov, and on the second day of Pesach you start counting Sfira. But the question is, why is Pesach the only Yontov we have in the Torah that's called the Shabbos? So this is one of the things that we will go into and explain why Pesach is a Yontov that's called Shabbos. This is one thing. The second thing is that Pesach is the Yontov that is connected with Avraham Avinu. All the Yomim Tovim are connected with different ones of the others. Shavuos is Yitzchok and Sukkot is Yaakov. Pesach is the Yontov connected with Avraham Avinu. Why is it? One of the things that we have is that Avraham was the one who was told about Golus Mitzrayim and Geulas Mitzrayim. Avraham was told that Ger Yezerachu Be'eretz Lo Elohem, that they're going to go into Mitzrayim, they'll go into Golus Mitzrayim. And Avraham was also told Ve'achar Kach Yeitzu B'rechush Gadol. Hashem promised Avraham that not only will they go into Mitzrayim, but it will be worthwhile because they're going to leave B'rechush Gadol. They'll come out of their B'rechush Gadol. And this connection is interesting. The Medrash says that Hashem, when it came to Geulas Mitzrayim, and when Hashem was ready to take B'nai Israel out, Hashem said, how can I not keep my promise? What is Avraham Avinu going to say if I'm going to just take them out and I'm not going to take them out B'rechush Gadol? It's interesting, the way the Medrash puts it is as if Hashem himself wouldn't have to do anything. But since maybe Avraham Avinu will come with a taina and say, you only kept part of your deal, you said you're going to send them to Mitzrayim, that part you kept, but B'rechush Gadol you didn't keep, that's why Hashem is taking them out B'rechush Gadol. Why isn't Hashem responsible to keep his promises anyways? Why only because Avraham Avinu would otherwise have a taina? This would be just a second question in this connection, that Hashem said, I have to keep my promise to Avraham Avinu. I cannot have Avraham Avinu have this taina to me that I'm not keeping my full promise. And this is the second question. And in this connection, it's another interesting thing, that when it speaks about the Rechush Gadol that B'nai Yisrael took out from Mitzrayim, and we'll speak about it later more, obviously it wasn't just money that we are talking about here. We're talking about the Nitzutzim of Kedusha that they took out and so on, and this was the main thing. But it's interesting that way they took out the Rechush Gadol. If you remember, what happened in Mitzrayim was that B'nai Yisrael left really very suddenly, and just before they left they were slaves and they didn't have any property. So what did Hashem say? Hashem asked them, V'yishalu ish me'es re'ehu V'yisho me'es re'uso klei kesef v'klei zohov. This is what the pasuk says, that B'nai Yisrael should go, they should go to their neighbors and they should borrow expensive kelim. And we still have, if you remember, the Medrash that says that the neighbors would say, we don't have anything, and Yidden would tell them that during Makas Cheshech we realized that you do have, and they knew where it was and so on, and that's how they left with Rechush Gadol, which is also a little bit funny here. What is the strange thing about it? Hashem wants them to leave with Rechush Gadol, with a lot of money. There's lots of ways he can give them this money. The way he gave it to them is really strange. What did he say? Go and borrow from your neighbors and then leave. The problem, I mean, what is the obvious problem with this? What kind of borrowing was that? If you go, if you immigrate, yeah, obviously they had no intention of returning. And by the way, it's interesting, if you remember there was this medrash about Alexander the Great, who had once somebody from Mitzrayim who came with a court case against B'nai Yisrael, that they stole all this money, and that they never repaid. And then was this, yeah. Then they made a cheshbon how many hours they worked and so on. They deserved it. But you know what? Why leave such an opening for Bechlal Taina? Hashem has ways to give them the money. Why not give it to them in a way that nobody can ask any questions? borrowing when you're just going to immigrate and never come back, it just doesn't seem right. So the Sipona asked this question, but his answer is also not, I mean, we'll see later why it is satisfactory, but like the, on the face of it, doesn't seem to be that satisfactory either. What he says is like this. Originally, the Yidden owed the Mitzrim this kelim. But what happened later was that by the Yam, by Kriyas Yamsuf, there was a Milchome. The Mitzrim ran after the Yidden in a form of Milchome. Okay, it's not the way we are used to Milchome, because actually there was no fighting. Yidden went through the Yam and the Mitzrim fell into the Yam. But this was because Hashem said that Ani Yilochem Lochem, I'm going to fight your war. Ve'atem Tachrin, you just be quiet and I'll take care of the war. But in essence, this was a war. Mitzrim came to fight with Yidden, and Yidden won over the Mitzrim. So the Sipona says that once the Mitzrim won in a Milchome, that the Mitzrim even initiated, then everything that belongs to the Mitzrim halachically belongs to the Yidden, because it's their spoil. And at this point, they don't have to pay it back. This is what the Sipona says. That's why they were not... But this still leaves you with a problem, with a very simple problem. Imagine the Mitzrim would not have run after them. It doesn't seem that they had any inclination of going back to Mitzrayim to return the scale. It just doesn't fit in. So fine, at this point, the Mitzrim ran after them, and at this point they were clear. The question is still in idea why Hashem made it come about in such a way that there should be a possibility of questioning. These are like three questions that we have, and there'll be more questions, and we'll maybe just one more question at this point, and then we'll see how with one concept you'll have the whole thing really answered, and that will explain to you the whole concept of Yetzias Mitzrayim. There's one more interesting point that happened by Kriyas Yamsuf. By Kriyas Yamsuf, when Yidden was standing by the Yam, and the Mitzrim came running after them, the Moshe Rabbeinu was davening to Hashem that he should save them, and Hashem was ready to split the Yam for Yidden and let the goyim drown. At this point, Lemailo, the Tsar of the Mitzrim, came up with a taina. The representative, the Ruchnistic representative of the Mitzrim, came up, and what did he say? He said to Hashem, "Halalo ev David Zore, v'halalo ev David Zore." After all, Yidden and Mitzrayim served David Zore, and the goyim served David Zore. Why do you differentiate? Why do you make them victorious and the others are going to drown? And of course this was not accepted at Taina. But the question here is, why did the Tsar of the Mitzrim wake up now? For one whole year, Hashem is making the Makis. The Makis were differentiating between the Mitzrim and the Yidden. The Maki was a Maki to the Goyim, but it was the opposite to the Yidden. So each of the Makis for one whole year made this differentiation between Goyim and Yidden, and the Sashel HaMitzrim kept quiet. He didn't say anything. He didn't come up with the Taina, Halolo Ev David Zore, Halolo Ev David Zore, why are you making a differentiation? And all of a sudden here he woke up. All of a sudden here he has this problem. Why now? What was the difference between now and before? And before we go into it, we have to a little bit look at, there's a few different midrashim about Yetzias Mitzrayim, interesting midrashim. One midrash is on the pasuk Medalek Alehorim. That's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. By the way, Shir HaShirim is the sefer that is connected with Pesach. It's right after the Seder, and all the psukim of Shir HaShirim are really connected with the Inyan of Pesach, of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Shir HaShirim is the relationship of the Chosn and the Kala, and this was Bnei Yisrael at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. This was Chosn Kala engagement time until Shavuos, which is considered the Chasana time. So all these psukim in Shir HaShirim are connected to somehow Bnei Yisrael when they left Mitzrayim. And many different psukim there. But one of the psukim there is Medalek al Hehorim. Yeah. That Hashem is described as Medalek al Hehorim. That he's jumping over the mountains, or on the mountains. Of Pesach. Besides the obvious reason that Hashem was jumping over the houses, but here it's Hehorim, the mountains. What exactly is the connection here? It says that when Hashem wanted to take Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, the Medrash says, Yidden themselves said that we are not ready. We are not ready. We feel we are not ready. And Hashem answered them, maybe you are not ready. What was the reason that they said they are not ready? And Israel said that we are meant to share tumen, which was something they were aware of. We are on a low level at this point in Mitzrayim. So Hashem answered, true, you are meant to share tumen, but Hastav Ovar, that's the Lashon there, the fall is over, winter is over, v'hanitzonim niru ba'aretz, and I can see flowers coming up, there is a new spring coming, there's a new beginning, this is the union of Pesach, a new beginning, and the nitzonim refer to the tzaddikim that were still there, Shevet Levi, who was a Shevet of Kulam Tzaddikim, and so on. And then Hashem said, medalek ale horim, ein horim elo horim. Horim refers to horim. Horim means the others, the teachers. And it brings a pasuk, Shimu horim esrif Hashem. Shimu horim esrif Hashem. That Hashem is talking to the horim kaviyochel. You should listen to the words of Hashem. And that refers to the others. So Hashem said that maybe you're not ready, but there are the others. We have the koyach of the others, and in the source of the others, you'll be taken out of Mitzrayim. Just to explain this a little bit better, medalek ale horim. True, you are on the bottom right now, mentes. But in the source of the others, I'll allow you. It's a different type of medalek ale horim. I'll allow you to jump up, like the Rebbe many times says. We attack like a tiny people, but we are sitting on the shoulders of giants. So this is what Hashem said, I'll allow you, even though you are low, you are on the bottom of the mountain, I'll allow you to jump up on top of the mountain, kaviyochel you'll be standing on top of the shoulders of the others. This is one medrash. So the medrash says that Hashem allowed Bnei Yisrael, even though they were low, to go beyond their actual limitations. And this is the point, Hashtav over, the winter is over, and even though everything seems bleak right now, that I can see the flowers coming up already. There's a second medrash that goes further in that and brings an interesting mashal. Medrash says like this, that it's a mashal to a kohen who had a truma that fell into the Beis HaKvaris. A kohen was walking and he had a truma that fell into the Beis HaKvaris, and now he was in a problem. On one hand, he said, he's not allowed to go in. The Tamis Atzmi Efsha. How can I go and be Metame myself in the Beis HaKvarim? On the other hand, Lehaniach Strumosi, to leave my Truma in the Beis HaKvarim is also Efsha. So he said, the Kohen said, Mutav Letames Atzmi Pam Achas. Let me be Metame myself one time. I'll go into the Beis HaKvarim and be Metame myself. I'll get my Truma and then I'll be Chazer Metayer. I'll go back. I'll be Metame myself and at least Loy le abedes trumosi. This way I will not lose my truma. The nimshel is kacha kudosh baruch hu, that Hashem said that Bnei Yisrael are there in Mitzrayim, and this is a place of tumah. What is interesting, the reason that the Medrash gives, why is Mitzrayim a place of tumah? Ki ein bayis asher ein sham mes. So the whole place was compared to a place of tumah, that there was not one house without a mess at the time of the Makas Becheres. So on one hand, Hashem says, how can I go to such a place in order to pull them out of there? On the other hand, to leave them there and le'abdes trumosi, how can I leave them behind? And the Bnei Yisrael are considered the truma of Hashem. So Hashem said, I'll do the same that the Koyim did. I'll be metame myself, pam achas, sheloy le'abdes trumosi, so that I shouldn't lose my truma Bnei Yisrael. Which on one it looks like it sounds very beautiful with the love of Hashem for Bnei Yisrael and so on, but when you think about it a little bit more, there's a few difficult points here. First of all, how can Hashem, what does it mean Hashem is metame himself? What do you mean he's metame himself by going into Mitzrayim and taking us out of there? How can Hashem Bechlal be metame himself? What is this concept of being metame himself? Even if it's a place of tumah, for Hashem there's no such a concept of being metame himself. So just to explain this concept a little bit better. When we say that Bnei Yisrael were not ready to be taken out of Mitzrayim, we mentioned before, they were mentes share tumah. They were on the lowest level possible. What would have happened had Hashem left them there one more day? we know that the klal is, yeah, that 50, from 50 there is no way back, either direction. Either direction, if you get into the positive side, nun share kedusha, like we said, Moshe Rabbeinu reached that level, then there's no way back. People, then you cannot sin anymore. The same thing, if chas v'shalom a person falls into nun share tume, there's no way up anymore. So B'nai Yisrael, Hashem said, okay, I'm going to pull them out of there at this moment, this very moment. Had they stayed another second longer, that's what the Mishnah says, had they stayed another second longer, it would have been impossible to get them out. The normal Seder HaVeide always is that Hashem expects us to take a step, and then He comes a step towards us. What do we call that? It has different names, but usually we say it's Yisserusa de la Tata and then Yisserusa de la Elo. And even if we make only a small Yisserus, but Hashem opens up, gives us a lot in return and helps us further and so on. Say that a Jew who takes a step in the right direction, Hashem will help him go along that way much, much more. But the concept always is that we do ours first. This is the Seder HaVeide, this is the way the world was created. When you talk about Giluyim, and we spoke about this in the beginning of the year, when we spoke about Kiddush HaLevana, when you talk about Giluyim Melamayla, this is even more so, that Hashem in this world is hidden. The world is called Eilu Miloshen Helen, because Hashem is hidden in the world. Hashem will reveal Himself always to the extent that we are Megala Him. As much as I see Him, that much He will reveal Himself. You know, we spoke about that? When Gittin Boi Mitzrayim, Amem Teshare Tume, and Hashem said, come, I'm taking you out. I'm taking you out of Galus. Gittin said, it's impossible. We haven't done ours yet. And they were right. They haven't done theirs yet. And Hashem normally would not reveal Himself or come to a place like Mitzrayim, we said the place of Tumah, like the Kohen who cannot go into Beis HaKodesh, he wouldn't reveal himself in a place where everybody's a Memtesh Share Tumah, unless Yidden would do some step. But at that point in Mitzrayim, they were so lost and so far away that Hashem said, I cannot wait for them to do the first step. I have to reveal myself to them. Which Legabe Hashem is called being Metame Himself. Metame means nothing to do with Tume or Tahar in any way. Metame means going against His way. The Derech that Hashem created the world is Hisserusa de Lotate, Hisserusa de Leila. And Hashem said, I'm going to ignore that completely. For the sake of Bnei Yisrael, I'm going to ignore these rules completely. I'm going to go out of my way, out of my Seder, and go down completely to the lowest level, and there, on the lowest level, I reveal myself, and not some sort of revelation, the highest revelation possible. So there were two extremes here, and this is the mashal. The two extremes is the Beis HaKvaris and the Kohen. These are two opposites. The same thing is Mitzrayim and the Likus. These were two opposites. Mitzrayim in the whole world was the lowest country. There's many reasons why, but this was considered the lowest country. Vayered Mitzrayim, or Yerid. It's the way it's described. Mitzrayim was Ervas Haaretz, a place of Tumah, even in all times, not only when Mnei is over there. In all times, considered a country that was removed from the Likus as much as could possibly be. Bnei Yisrael there were Mem Teshare Tumah. And Hashem said to that place, Atzmus and Elikus is going to reveal itself in such a form that even the Ovis did not have a revelation. It says that the Eir El Avram Yitzchak Yaakov Bishmi Keil Shakai Ushmi Hashem Lo Neidati Lohem. And this form of Elikus that I'm revealing myself now in Mitzrayim, this even the Ovis did not have. So the Ovis in Eretz HaKodesh on their level did not have a revelation that the lowest people had in Mitzrayim. One of the description of that is Ro Shifchu Al Hayom Ma Sheloi Ro Yecheskel Ben Buzi. You have this contradiction here. A Shifcha and yet this kind of a revelation. This is called Legade Hashem's normal Hanhoge being Metame Himself. This is not the way he wants the world to run. Obviously, if there's going to be his Yisserusa de Le'ela, then what will be lacking? I mean, what's the purpose of the world?
That
we should do something. Our avodah would be lacking. Hashem will say, okay, fine, you'll be bad, but I'm going to make you into Nevi'im. I mean, so what do I have to do? Where does my avodah come in? Exactly. So this was the point of Mitzrayim. That Hashem said, I'm going to be Metames, I go against my way, because the whole purpose of the Bria was, I want people to do. I don't want them to just sit there and receive, I want them to do. And here Hashem said, in Mitzrayim, I'm going to change it completely around, I'll give to them, and I'm not expecting anything of them at this point. And by the way, remember we gave the marshal of the child who's in the hiding place? And we said that if he's found, then it doesn't pay for Hashem to hide. But if people stop looking, then it also doesn't pay to hide. And this is the only time in history we had that basically was in Mitzrayim, where people were on such a low level that they couldn't even be expected to look anymore. That there was no hope that they're going to find Hashem and look for Hashem and so on. So Hashem said, okay, so forget about it, I'll do the first step. Ani hamaschil. That's what the Medrash says. Ani hamaschil, I'll start. But with this, you still have a problem. There has to be personal aveda. There still has to be personal avoda. So what happened? Hashem said, I'll make a deal with you. Sometimes people earn their own thing. Hashem said, I'll lend you. That's the point. I'll lend it to you. Whatever it is, I'll lend it to you, but some place I'll expect you to pay back. It cannot be in avodas Hashem that you're getting everything from above. Otherwise, what are you created for? Some place you have to do something. So true, normally we say, first you do and I'll give you afterwards. Here Hashem said, let's just turn it around. I'll give you first, give you Giluyim, I'll give you an artificial Madrega. Now we're going back to the Medrash, Medalek Alehorim. Normally in Aveda we say everybody has to go step by step. You want to reach the peak of the mountain, but you go every day a little step, another step, another step. Pesach Hashem said, no, you don't have to go steps. I'll take you up with an elevator, I'll put you on top of the mountain, but then for up there you'll have to do something. And this is, by the way, this is every year Pesach, the same koyach. Normally we say a person has to go behadroge. Pesach is a yontif where you are poyrez geder, you are jumping, you are breaking the limitations. Mitzrayim means limitations. Mitzorim, leaving Mitzrayim means that you are leaving the limitations in Aveda. And a person who normally could go step by step slowly, on Pesach he can jump beyond these limitations and just break through barriers. But this is what Hashem said, I'm taking the Shifcha from the bottom of the mountain and I'm putting her all the way up on top of the mountain. But there has to come a day of paying back. Where was that? What happened was, in Mitzrayim, for one complete year, was only Giluyim. All the Makkos, if you learned all the Inyonim of the Makkos, all the Makkos that came were not some cute miracles, obviously. Each Makkah had profound lessons in Emunah in Hashem. If you learn, Psad Yigoyen has a whole sefer on it, just explaining the 10 Makkahs. If you learn them, you'll see that in each Makkah there was a lesson to understand that there is a creator in the world who runs the world, which is the reason why 10 Makkos are keneged the Aseres HaDibros. Hashem created the world with 10, and the Makkos were also 10, meaning that in the same way like the Aseres HaDibros show a creator, the 10 Makkos show that there is somebody who runs the world. And there was the Sur Miran, the Asei Tov in it. The Sur Mirab was showing that Avodah Zarah has no power in the Makkos. In each one of, yeah, the first one was the Nile and so on. As you went, you could see that there's no power in Avodah Zarah. There was the opposite, that there is only power in Kedusha. That was the union of the 10 Makkos. So for 1 year, Yid not only heard or learned lessons, but actually experienced that there is a creator, he runs the world. And not only, but it's something I can see and touch. That was for the year. So after that, Hashem said, now, after I've given you all this, there'll be a point where I want to at least test you whether this lesson is something that stayed with you, that you have absorbed, and that it stayed with you. Where did this moment come that Hashem said, I'm testing you, let me see? It was Al Hayam. And Bnei Yisrael was standing by Kriyas Yamsuf, meaning before Kriyas Yamsuf. For 1 year, the Shechinah was with them in an obvious, open fashion. There was no question. Shem was with them, and it was seen, and it was obvious. All of a sudden, Al Hayam, Yidna standing there, and it seems like they're left alone. And in fact, they were left alone for 1 day. What happened? There were the Mitzrim behind them, running behind them. There was the Yam in front of them. And on the side, both sides, there was the Midbar with all the dangers of the Midbar. And there was no direction. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't tell them what to do. And there was, in fact, there was four groups of people who all had different of opinion. What should we do now? This was a certain amount of darkness that came after a strong amount of light, which makes it even harder. So at that moment, the question was, what would the reaction of Eden be? Basically, what was expected of them? What was expected of them was, for one year, Hashem showed them, I'm taking care of you, I'm running the world. Now today, you don't know what to do. What you have to, the only response is, you continue trusting in me, finished. Even though right now, there's really, I don't see Hashem taking care of me. But for a whole year, give me a head start, so to speak. I've held your hand, I've done everything for you. Now show me that you have learned this lesson. This was the moment of truth. And when it came to the Yam, it wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu. It was Nachshon Ben Aminadov. It was one, a representative of the Am.
Moshe Rabbeinu didn't need it.
He had it. Yeah, but that's not the point. The point is, Yidden had to prove that. Yidden had to prove that they have absorbed the lesson. It's not enough that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to, because that's again somebody holding onto your hand. It had to come from them. The initiative had to come from Bnei Yisrael. Jumped into the water, and it's interesting that the water did not split right away. It reached his neck, and all Yidman, they saw his decision, ran after him, and before it split, and that was the moment of decision. Quite when you think about it, basically what they did was all Mesiras Nefesh. They said, okay, we are not asking questions, we believe in you, and we have Mesiras Nefesh without any signs from above. That Mesiras Nefesh was the Koyach that split the Yam. As a result of it, now that they sort of paid back, that they showed that whatever they were given before was something that they really absorbed and that they deserved. That's more than that. Now Hashem can, okay, now I can continue. Till now, there was no proof whether all that they got was something that's outside, superficial, and only forced upon them, because this is really what we spoke about last time with Purim also, with the Giluim, that some things are just being forced, whether this was really absorbed or not. Once they showed the Siddhas Nefesh Aliyah, Hashem said, okay, then now we can continue, which means basically that this moment of truth by the Yam was really the testing place where the Bnei Yisrael deserved to be taken to Matan Torah, and whether we can continue, or if you want to call it in different words, whether we are dealing with a one-sided or a two-sided relationship. Because till now, it was really all only from Hashem. Everything came from above. Till now, it was really a one-sided relationship. So the question is, you're going to go into marriage here. This is a Chos and Kali relationship. There has to be some commitment from the other side also. It cannot only be one-sided. So Hashem said, okay, I can be the one who initiates it. I can be the one who starts it. For a whole year, I'm doing my thing. But there has to come a point of truth. Are you going to, are you willing? Are you coming along? Or is it just, are you being dragged? What is the story here? So by Kriyas Yamsuf, this is when Yidden showed, we are going along. Now just to go to the questions that we asked. Why did the Sar Shel HaMitzrim wake up now and not before? The Sar Shel HaMitzrim is a Ruchnis Digesar, which means he knows, even though he represents the Mitzrim and he represents negative, but he knows what's going on up there. So the whole year that Hashem did all the Nisim for Bnei Yisrael, there was no question to be asked. He knew this was just a one-sided thing, that this was a deal. Hashem is not expecting anything from them. He knew, when is the moment of truth coming up? It's by the Yam. And that's where it all lies. Once they prove themselves by the Yam, then he knows he lost. Till then, he had no problem with the whole deal. Okay, so let Hashem lend them a little bit of money. Let him push them up the mountain. Let's see how fast they'll come rolling down from there. So that didn't bother him. But once it comes to the Yam, and Yidna actually showing that they are fast and strong and they're going to go through with it, now is a problem. Are you really going to, is this really going to become a true relationship? Now the Sashen HaMitzrim comes with the problem. The same thing is with the other question that we asked, that Pesach is called Shabbos and not Yom Tov. One of the differences between Shabbos and Yom Tov, the basic differences between Shabbos and Yom Tov in Chassidus is the difference between Hiserusa Dilatat and Hiserusa Dilaelo. Shabbos is Hiserusa Dilaelo. Shabbos is something that was there, Misheshes and Ebereshes, before there were any people. Hashem initiated the idea of Shabbos. And not only that, Shabbos depends, has nothing to do with us, does not depend on us. Every seventh day is Shabbos. Whether you want it, whether you know about it, the Kiddush is there every seventh day. It was there before people were there. Yom Tov, on the other hand, is something that came through us, came as a result of us. Most Yom Tovim are a result of something that happened to us in history, first of all. So it's connected with us. But even stronger than that, the Rebbe always mentions the fact that we, especially when the Beis Hamikdash stood especially, have the koyach to decide when Yom Tov is. In other words, depending on how we fix Rosh Chodesh, we are kaver Rosh Chodesh, depending on that, there will be the day that when there is Yom Tov, which means that a Yid has the power to be koveya that the holiest Kedusha should come down on a certain day by fixing Rosh Chodesh, which means that Yom Tov is an inyan of Hiserusa Dilatata. It comes from us, from our initiative. Yom Tov comes through us. It's an awesome thing. See, Shabbos has Kedusha, it says that Mishatereach Be'erev Shabbos Yechol B'Shabbos, that if you're going to prepare for Shabbos, you will appreciate the Kedusha of Shabbos. If you don't, you won't, but it will be there. The Kedusha will still be there, whereas Yom Tov is something that we actually decide. On Rosh Chodesh, we decide that day is Rosh Chodesh, which means that the holiest day of the year, Yom Kippur, will fall on a certain day. It's interesting that, even when there were machlokes, that somebody said it's on this day Yom Kippur, and the other one said it's on the next day Yom Kippur, and you're thinking of the Kiddush of the day and the aveir of eating on that day and so on, but it's all decided by us. And Hashem Kaviyochol follows us. When we say this is Yom Kippur, so Hashem Lemailo is maskim and follows us, which means, in different words, that Shabbos is Hiserusa Dila'elo, Hashem initiates Shabbos. Yom Tov is Hiserusa Dila'tato, it's something that we, Yidn, Bnei Yisrael, initiate. So therefore, when Terry talks about Pesach, it calls it Shabbos, is because even though Pesach is a Yom Tov, which really normally is something that we initiate, this Yom Tov was not really initiated by us. Why was it not initiated by us? Because it was something that Hashem decided. We didn't do it. It wasn't Hiserusa Dilatato. It was Hiserusa Dilaila. Hashem decided that this day should have the Kiddush of Yom Tov rather than the other way around. Now, the last part, I don't know if we have time to finish the whole thing, but just to start at least. The last part about the Kalim that we started with. See, when I've mentioned before, when we talk about taking out the Kalim from Mitzrayim, then obviously the main part of the Kalim is not the physical vessels, the gold and the silver and so on. The main part is the Inyonim of Kiddusha that are connected with it. When Bnei Yisrael go into Golus, one of the reasons that they go into different countries, that everyone's asked that, why do Yidden, can't they stay in one country and finished? So the Medrash says, in order to attract Geirim. Geirim, the Rebbe says, we don't go around making Geirim. But Geirim means any nitzitz of Kedusha that fell into a place is a ger there. Kedusha that's in a place of tomb is a ger. So you can go around the world, and I think at this point we've been everywhere, we have covered the world, in order that if there is any nitzitz of Kedusha that somehow fell someplace, it should be attracted, Yidden should take it out. Now, what does that mean? It means, first of all, physical objects. There is Kedusha in physical objects. But then there is even another aspect. See, it says that each nation has certain qualities. When you see Yidden from different countries, you can tell that besides the fact that they come from this country and they speak maybe that language and so on, there's always something from the culture, from the whatever, that they have incorporated into Yiddishkeit also. There were certain countries, for example, where Nigunim were incorporated. The Rebbe spoke about that recently, about France, but it was done so in other countries also, where certain Nigunim were brought into Kedusha, where Megayer, if you want, but brought into Kedusha. In other words, the different countries have different things, and a lot of it, different qualities, and a lot of it is simply also by what they absorbed around them and brought along with them. That's also called Nitzutzim of Kedusha, being Nevada, the Nitzutzim of the place. Which means, in other words, that when you leave, or when we come out of a country, and even leave a place, it means that they have to be mevara whatever toiv there is in this place, they have to take this along and somehow bring it into Kedusha. There is the other side also, of course, of leaving behind whatever is not good. And that's part of Birurim. When Yidden left Mitzrayim, we said that the Madrege, or the Avodas HaBirurim of Mitzrayim, was something that they did not do on their own. When they took the Kelim couldn't be theirs yet. They were borrowed. It wasn't that Hashem couldn't find a way to give them these Kelim. Obviously, with so many Nisim there were enough. There was enough. The Nisim would have paid for the water with all their kelim, if that would have been. I mean, that wasn't the problem. But Hashem couldn't give them the kelim on a permanent basis until whatever was supposed to be beruchnis accomplished in Mitzrayim, meaning the birur beruchnis of Mitzrayim, was actually accomplished. And this is why Hashem said, "Borrow these kelim. I cannot give them to you yet. Borrow them. Ask your neighbors to lend you these kelim, because right now, whatever you took out of Mitzrayim, whatever you accomplished in Mitzrayim is only on a borrowed level." Yeah. No, but the point is that Bnei Yisrael at that point, when they took out the kelim and the Nitzutzim of Kedusha, it really was not considered their doing and not their thing yet. So Hashem couldn't say, "It's yours, take it out." Hashem said, "I'll borrow it meanwhile, and let's see later what will happen." And when you think about what the Sipona says, that by the Yam they won over the Mitzrim and then it became theirs in the spoil, now with what we said before, it fits nicely. It wasn't so much that they won a milchama against the Mitzrim as much as they won their own milchama, and that they were able to have Mesiras Nefesh, and at this point they were on a level where it became theirs, where whatever they had learned in Mitzrayim, whatever was borrowed to them, whatever Hashem had given to them on a borrowed basis, if you want, wherever this became theirs. So at this point already, it became theirs, what it says, the Sholol from the Milchama. But till now, there was no way they could rightfully call it theirs.